Well, good morning, Northridge Church. It is so good to be together this morning. Welcome home and welcome to the family. And man, we desire that you feel that welcome home here at Northridge Church. From the moment you hit the parking lot to the moment you meet the people, our desire is that as you experience Northridge Church and its people, what could easily feel like a crowd, could feel like a lot of people, slowly begins to feel like family. A place where you can be known, build relationships, a place where you can be loved and cared for, and ultimately a place where you can learn about Jesus and walk closely with him. And so to everyone who's watching and listening, we are grateful for your life. Welcome home and welcome to the family. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1. So grab your physical, your digital Bible, jump into the Northridge Church app. You can follow along with today's message because we're starting a brand new journey, a brand new series called Nineveh. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the four chapters of Jonah's story. And as we begin this journey, I want to just, before we go too far, I just want to give you a little context of what's going on in the book of Jonah. The first question we have as we jump into this book is, who is Jonah? Right? What do I want to learn about this guy? And Jonah is a prophet. Now, in our culture, we don't really use that word ever. And so a prophet was God's spokesperson. It was like God's voice. What would often happen is God would come to his prophet, he would tell the prophet what to say, and this prophet would deliver that message to the nation of Israel. And so Jonah is one of God's prophets. Now there's a couple things unique about Jonah that we need to know up front. A couple unique things about him being a prophet. The first one is that Jonah, as a prophet, most prophets would speak to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. But Jonah, as the prophet, is actually called to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a dark and wicked city. The other unique thing about Jonah as a prophet is, in most cases when you read stories about prophets, the prophets were the hero of the story. They're the good guy. Jonah isn't. In fact, Jonah is far from the hero of his own story. As you study Jonah, as we look at the pages of the four chapters, here's what you will find out about Jonah. He is very flawed. He's stubborn, selfish, and at times, even bitter. And what I love about the book of Jonah is I can relate to this prophet so much because way too often my life looks like his. And so as we study this book, you will see this theme through every page and every chapter. We see this perspective of God that the Lord delights to show his mercy, grace, and love to all people. And he challenges us to do the same. Through every page of Jonah, you will see a God who loves showing grace and mercy and love to people. And let it challenge your heart throughout this series to live the same way. Let's dive in this morning. Jonah chapter 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." And so right here from the very first verse, we see God coming to his prophet. And he says to Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh to preach against its wickedness." Now you have to understand, this calling to go to Nineveh wasn't an easy one. The Ninevites is the Assyrian Empire, and they were known for their wickedness. They were known for their cruelty. And so this is not some easy task for Jonah to go there. In fact, the very reason God wants him to go is to preach against its wickedness. And yet right here from the very first verses, we see that theme. We see God showing his mercy and grace and love to wicked people. Now, that's not a point that we would often amen to, right? Because why would God do that for wicked people? Why would God show his grace and mercy to people who don't deserve it? And yet, how quickly do we forget that we were once those wicked people? We were once those people who were living in rebellion to God, doing things that went away from God, and yet we didn't deserve his grace and mercy, and yet he still gave it to us. So God says, hey, go to Nineveh. And you know that same call that Jonah had, you do as well? If you contextualize this passage, it's almost as if God is teaching us that Rochester is our Nineveh. It's why we here as Northridge Church, the family of God, are here. Because God has called us to bring the light into the darkness. He's called us to preach hope and grace to the places that need it the most. And there's a reason why a lot of church planners avoid the greater Rochester area. Because when you study the Rochester area, it's one of the top 10 most post-Christian cities. Not a lot of people have a faith background. They're not interested in church, and yet it is ground and opportunity for us to take the gospel, God's grace and mercy. Rochester is our Nineveh. It's why we're here, to saturate the greater Rochester area with the gospel of Jesus. And here's what that means personally. As God came to Jonah and said, go, do you realize that you have this same call? That God has said to you where you live, go and preach, go and live out the gospel for the world to see. God has given you that same command. In fact, let me show it to you. Right in Matthew chapter 28, we know this passage is the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. He's about to leave his followers. This is one of his last messages to them. And what does he say? He says, therefore, go. What did he say to Jonah? Jonah, go to Nineveh. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So just like Jonah, God has called you to go. Maybe you don't have to travel to a distant land, but right here, you're called to go and preach the gospel, live out the gospel for the world to see. So God says, go to Nineveh, Jonah. And he responds, it says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for a port, for that port. After paying the fee, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And so right here, we get a glimpse into what kind of prophet Jonah was. Jonah, right from the start, just lives and chooses rebellion against God. The scriptures say he ran from God. And to truly understand what the gravity and the message that Jonah is sending to God, you have to see this on a map. Let me just show you this for you, right? When it came to Jonah, right, if you look right here in this A, right, this is where Jonah received the message to go. And God comes to Jonah and he says, hey, I want you to start right here, and I want you to travel up and over here to Nineveh at point B. That's about a 550-mile journey. So let's not underplay it. That's in this culture, ancient culture, that's a long journey for someone. And yet, Jonah gets called to go to Nineveh, and he goes in the complete opposite direction, where he goes from here all the way over to Tarshish. Just so you know, that's a 2,500-mile journey, right? He's saying to God, I'm going to the ends of the earth because I'd rather go there than to go to Nineveh. And to contextualize this for our culture today, that's like God calling Jonah to go to Maine from Rochester, and instead he chose to go to Los Angeles. And we might ask the question, why is Jonah doing that? We don't have to guess. The scriptures tell us. It says he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He's literally living in rebellion to the call God gave him. And it's easy for us as Christians to be like, man, what's wrong with Jonah? What kind of prophet is he? But let's be honest. Too many of us live the exact same way as Jonah. Sure, we're not traveling to a faraway land away from where we are, but we go about our lives so busy that we forget that we've been called to bring the gospel to where we are. Can I ask you a question? Are you running from the mission field that's right in front of you? You have that same call, go make disciples of all nations, and yet too many of us, we live just like Jonah, in rebellion to the call God has placed on our life. And are you missing out on the mission field that God has placed right in front of your life? the mission field of your family, the team that you coach, your coworkers, your roommates, your classmates, your neighbor, your friends. And are you living just like Jonah in rebellion to God's call? And here's what's crazy about Jonah. Here's why Jonah didn't go to Nineveh. Because he knew who God was. He knew that God was gracious. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God, if he went and preached to Nineveh, he knew that they would probably turn to God and he would forgive them and bless them. And Jonah didn't think this wicked empire deserved God's grace. And so he fled. I wonder what it is for you. What's keeping you from going to Nineveh? What's keeping you from reaching the mission field that's right in front of you? For some of us, we're just like Jonah. There's people out there in our lives that we just believe they don't deserve God's grace. You know, the grace that God gave you, you just think that someone else doesn't deserve it, right? Maybe it's someone who hurt your family. And the last thing you want to see is them repent and turn to God. You want to see them punished. Maybe it's your enemy or people you can't stand who just choose evil and you think they get what they deserve. Or maybe it's fear. Fear keeps you from going to Nineveh because you're afraid, like, well, what if I share my faith and I'm rejected? What if people don't accept me? What if I lose some friends because of it? Some of you, you're just embarrassed. Your faith is shallow enough where you talk about Jesus, you might not be able to defend him, and so you just keep quiet. For a lot of us, you know what it is? It's just busyness. We're so busy, the last thing that comes to our mind is to actually share and live our faith out. Right? We're so busy. For some of us, we just don't care. We become careless and casual. And honestly, if I look back at my life, one of the greatest places of spiritual regret happened to me in my high school days, my middle school days. You see, growing up, I was an athlete. I was pretty good at sports. And what that meant is God gave me influence. He gave me influence. And the reason why I believe God gave me influence in middle school and high school and as a young adult was to tell people about Jesus and what he's done in my life. But as a high schooler, I just thought it was easier to fit into the crowd, to be cool, not stand out. And so I wasted a lot of the influence that God gave me. Sure, people knew I went to church. Sure, people knew I believed in God. But God gave me a platform to tell people about how good his grace and his mercy is. And I completely wasted it. And that's exactly what Jonah is doing. He's running from God's call. But here's the problem. You can't really run away from God. In fact, Jonah's going to find this out. It says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God, and they threw out the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. I love this part of the story. Because Jonah flees, and God's like, you can't get away from me. He sends this giant wind, and all the sailors who are sailing with Jonah are freaking out. They think they're going to die. They're throwing things overboard. They're like praying to whatever God will listen to them. And where is Jonah? He's sleeping. Now, at some level, I'm like jealous of that type of sleep. All my light sleepers out here, can you just say amen? Because everything wakes me up. I would love to have that type of REM cycle sleep that Jonah's getting. But he's sleeping. And look what happens. It says, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked him, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And so these sailors realized that the problem on the ship is Jonah.
He's the one responsible for all of this. And here's what I want you to see. When we choose to not answer God's call, when we rebel against God, when we live in sin, Jonah is showing us something. When we run from God, we become casual to the destruction that we cause. And if you look at the story, Jonah is responsible for the storm and the wind. He's responsible for maybe the sailor's deaths because he's rebelling against God. And Jonah, throughout the journey, is just casual about it. It's not that big of a deal. In fact, he's sleeping during the storm when everybody else thinks they're going to die. And how true is it? When we rebel against God, we become calloused and casual to the destruction we create. The destruction where we drag God's name through the mud because of rebellion to him, and we just become casual to it. Don't even notice it. That was Jonah. It says the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. This part of the story amazes me, because the sailors realize Jonah's the problem, and they ask Jonah, what should we do? He's like, "Just throw me over. The storm will stop. Just get me out of the boat." And these pagan sailors, these sailors who are praying to any God who will listen, they value Jonah's life enough to keep rowing, keep going. And it makes me think of a question. What does it say about us when unbelievers act more godly than we do? What does it say about our lives when we rebel against God so much that people who are far from God actually choose more godly than we do? When we live this way, we actually tear down the name of God by our actions. So finally, they've had enough. It says they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. The irony of the ending of the story, right? The whole reason Jonah is on the boat in the first place is because he's rebelling against God. He doesn't want pagan people, wicked people, to receive God's mercy. And yet, through his rebellion, God does give mercy to pagan men on the ship. The very thing Jonah tried to avoid, God still did through his rebellion. And the moral of this story, as we look at chapter 1, is this, that God doesn't need you to get the job done. God doesn't need you, right? And at some level, just let that dose of humble pie hit us all. Because we have a tendency as people to become proud, to think we're really good at what we do. And like, man, how could God get this done without me? Can I tell you the truth? God don't need you to get the job done. You can't stop God with your rebellion or your disobedience. He doesn't need you. But what's amazing about God is he invites you in. He doesn't need you to play his role, but God, man, he invites you in to play a role in his church. He invites you to play in a role in what he's doing in the world. And so as we look at chapter 1, as we look at Jonah, this prophet who runs from God, I think there's a couple areas that it challenges our own lives. The first way I think this challenges is we need to be reminded that you will never have a heart for the lost until you recognize and remember how lost you were. Church, how often do we forget how dark our lives were apart from Jesus? How often do we forget where our lives would be if it not for Jesus? How often do we forget that the only good thing in me is Jesus? So let's not forget, never grow old. Don't forget the grace and the mercy that Jesus has showed you and continues to show you. Never forget it. And when you're reminded of it, allow it to drive you to offer that same grace and mercy to your friends, to our city, to our coworkers, to our classmates. Because we follow his example. The second challenge, a reminder from Jonah, is we have to understand as Christians, God's call over our life isn't optional. If you're here this morning and you claim to love Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to him, you've believed in his cross and his resurrection, he's redeemed you and he's saved you, God has placed a call on your life, and it is to reach people with the gospel. It isn't optional, it's commanded. And to not obey God's call is rebellion. And at some level, it's the evidence of your relationship with Jesus. If you love Jesus and you have a relationship with him and you don't have a passion in you to reach people far from God, you might want to check the Jesus that you follow. In fact, I think one way we can evaluate this in our lives is by asking a simple question. When's the last time you shared your faith with someone else? When's the last time you invited your neighbor over to sit down and have a good meal and to tell them about what Jesus has done in your life? When's the last time you lived out the gospel and showed God's grace and mercy for them to see him in you? When's the last time you testify to a coworker or whoever it is in your sphere of influence about Jesus? If it's been a long time or if it's been long enough, maybe it's because you believe that call is optional. But it's not. Listen to me, church. How can we reach the world if we hate it? How can we reach the world? How can we reach the greater Rochester area if we're bitter towards the people who live in it? You see, we have to remember the grace God has given us. And out of that grace, it compels us, it builds a passion in our lives to share our faith with others. But as we wind down this morning, one of the greatest things I want you to see in the first chapter of Jonah is that your disobedience doesn't derail God's plan. It just reveals his patience. Jonah rebelled against God. He did exactly the opposite thing of which God wanted him to do, and yet it didn't derail God's plan. And that's good news for us, that God's bigger than our disobedience. But the theme throughout this story in chapter 1, as Jonah runs from God, do you know what you see from God? His grace and his mercy and his forgiveness and his patience with Jonah. It's kind of ironic that Jonah is living like the very people he's refusing to go reach. Right there in chapter 1, Jonah is living like the Ninevites, living in rebellion to God, showing wickedness. And yet in the midst of it, what does God give him? Forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and patience. Why? Because our God delights in showing you, all of us, grace and mercy and patience. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for that grace, that mercy that you have shown us. Thank you that you're a God who is slow to anger and abounding in love. And God, I pray as we walk out of our auditoriums, as we log off our TVs or our computers, Lord, I pray that you would put a zeal in our hearts as a church for the people who are far from God that we interact with each and every day. I pray that we would be a church that goes to Nineveh, no matter how great the cost is, that we would share that same grace, that same mercy that you have given us. We love you, Jesus. Help us in the journey. Amen.